sometimes work through life. We live out our life. We do life here together. We live our lives. And sometimes the things needed for our success are right in front of us, and we just don't even realize we have them. I mean, can you imagine being on that island for 5 years and being stranded and then realize, oh, all I had to do is open this package and there's a satellite phone. Oh, where am I? I don't know. Here's a GPS locator. Oh, I'll drink the milk from a coconut because I can't get pure enough water. And oh, here's a water pure. I mean, all the things necessary. That's the Word of God. The Word of God provides so much for us. Maybe not always physical needs, but definitely spiritual needs. But I believe it helps us. I believe that the Word of God gives us the answers that we need, gives us a location, helps us to know where we are and where we need to be going. And that's so very important. So how do we prepare our hearts for God's Word? How do we're talking about attitudes of the heart and preparing our hearts. How do we do that? How do we prepare our hearts? How do we develop searching hearts? Let's take a quick look at the prophet. Well, actually, wasn't a prophet. He's a scribe, Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And there's a little bit of information here, enough, I think, that we can build something from. But it says in chapter 7, verse 10, "For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel." Okay, so he had devoted himself to the study. The Living Bible says, "For Ezra had set his heart." He kind of had set his heart to study the Word of the Lord. And then the King James Version says, "Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law and to do it." Not just seek it, but to do it as well. And so he prepared his heart. How do we do that? How do we devote ourselves? How do we set our hearts? How do we devote our hearts or prepare our hearts? Well, the title of this series is Attitudes of the Heart. And attitudes don't always start here. They start here. See, if we're going to have a good attitude, we have to start with it here. So we have to prepare our mind. We have to have an attitude that says, I want to learn the Word of God. I want to put it in my heart. So therefore, I have to study God's Word. So point number one, a searching heart makes it a goal to study the Word of God daily. But you have to have the goal to meet the goal. So if our attitude says, well, I don't know, you know, the Bible's so hard to understand. The Bible, I don't really necessarily have time for that. Or I don't know if I really want to do that or not. Well, then you're probably not going to have a heart ready for it. We're not going to have a searching heart until our mind and our attitude and our goals all kind of meet together in the middle. And so in the book of Acts, we read about a group of people who love to study the Scriptures. In chapter 16, Paul and Silas had gone, I don't know if you remember the story, they'd gone to Thessalonica. They go to the city of Thessalonica, they get there, and for 3 days they teach in the synagogue. On the third day, a bunch of Jews don't like the fact that they're teaching in the synagogue, don't like the fact that they're teaching about Jesus, and so they start causing a commotion, they start causing a problem. So much of a commotion, so much of a problem, that they say, you know what, Paul, Silas, you guys better get out of here, or you're going to get thrown into prison, you're going to get beat, or even worse. And so they wind up in a city called Berea. And so turn with me to Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. And let's read something about these Bereans. They had a noble character, it says. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness. And they examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So you have these guys in Thessalonica, which we do learn this. Later on, when we read the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, Paul actually greets them in 1 Thessalonians and says, "You who love the Word." So there were the ones who actually believed the Word, the Thessalonians there. They got excited about reading and studying the Scriptures, right? These Bereans had a noble character. They searched the Scriptures daily. They wanted to know the answers to the things that Paul was saying. And so it's important for us to have that same kind of attitude. Now, you're going to hear me say it. If you get tired of hearing me say it, then I'm sorry, because if I have to say it 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 times. We need to get in the Word every day. We need to study the Scriptures. In them is where we're going to find some of the answers to life's questions, some of the problems that we might have. It kind of helps guide us, all right? There's some purifying effects there. You know, there's some water purifying there, because you have living water. It's not the kind of water that you get from a well. It's a better water than that. And so the Word of God is pretty special. So some of you do. You get in the Word every day. So keep it up. Good for you. Others, you know, when you pull your Bible out, you have to go, you know, and dust it off and kind of go, oh, sorry, you know, it hasn't been there for a while. And that's okay in the sense that now you're pulling it out and you're saying, hey, I want to do a better job. And others are kind of sporadic. We read a little bit here, we read a little bit there, but we just don't really get into the Word like we should. And I think that reading our Bibles daily on purpose, because we choose to do so, is part of having a searching heart. I think it's really important. And you say, well, Mike, you don't understand. You don't understand our schedule. Man, our schedule is full. We've got so many things going on. Life is just, man, we're just going 100,000 miles an hour. To that I would say, your life's too busy. If your life's too busy to study the Word of God, then you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, then you're too busy. If you're too busy to do a lot of things that are the most important things, then you're just too busy. And you say, well, you know, I have reasons for that. No, you have excuses for that. And we've all heard excuses. I mean, through the years, it's been amazing to me, among teenagers especially, the excuses that they might throw out. You know, sometimes it's as silly as, well, you don't understand, Mike. I don't understand the Bible. Why would I read it? It's like, well, then because you don't understand it, you should read it more. That's how you understand it more. And there's things for that. But I always, I don't always, but sometimes I have silly quotes. And I know a few weeks ago I said, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it. And everybody thought that was a weird quote of the day. I heard somebody go, well, that's the quote of the day. Well, I have a quote of the day for you this morning. And I'm going to tell you that's the quote of the day. All right. Excuses are like armpits. Okay. Excuses are like armpits. Everybody has a couple and they usually stink. All right. That's my quote of the day. That's what excuses are usually pretty pathetic. I mean, they're pretty bad. They smell funny because we have an opportunity. At no other time in the world do we have the opportunity to read our Bible every day. You have apps for that with your phones, and we have all of this information. And sometimes people look at phone books and they go, man, that is archaic. Well, they treat the Bible that way. Like this, you know, there's things that have replaced this. But overall, if you're looking for certain information, if you're looking for someone, if you're looking for the things that you say, you know, I got to get to the yellow pages and see if I can find churches. Well, let me look at all the churches, or maybe I want to look for florists. Well, we have a Google search now, right, that does all that for us. So the method has changed, but not the urgency or the desire. And so sometimes people say, well, the Bible's archaic. No, it's not. It's just when we don't see people with their Bibles all the time, we kind of think, well, is there some way different to study it? Well, obviously there is. I mean, I don't bring a Bible up to the podium for the very reason I don't like to wear glasses and I can't see my Bible, right? So I write the verses out. So that's how I do it. But when I read my scripture, it's most of the time it's on my phone or it's on my computer. And so that hasn't changed the need to read the Bible. It's just the method by which we do that. Look what David wrote in Psalm chapter 119. And I don't know if you guys remember, I kind of gave everybody homework last week. If you were in small groups, we talked about reading Psalm 119. And so I've got some verses at the very end that we'll look at. But look at Psalm 119, 10 and 11. David said, and David was a man after God's own heart, and we're talking about heart issues. And so if we want to be like David and have a heart like David, we need to be able to write things like this. I seek you with all of my heart, David said. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, this idea of hiding God's word in our heart is like kind of like saving it up, putting it there so that we have it for later use. If you'll think about it, in the New Testament, there's two times in Luke chapter 2 where Mary treasured things in her heart. If you'll remember, the angels come, the angels tell the shepherds, and the shepherds come to see baby Jesus. And you have Mary there and Joseph there, and it's all hubbubaloo about, you know, praising him and worshiping him. And it says in Luke chapter 2, Mary treasured up these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. She saved them. She held on to them. She was looking at them for later use. Later in chapter 2, Jesus and his parents, now he's 12 years old, and they go to Jerusalem. And mom says, well, I thought you had him. And dad says, no, I thought you had him. And they leave Jesus, right? And so they're like, oh, we left Jesus. And so they have to go back to Jerusalem. They look for him and they find him in the temple, preaching and teaching and listening and paying attention. And they're amazed by that. And Jesus says, didn't you know I'd have to be in my Father's house? And again, Mary treasured up these things in her heart. She remembered them. She held on to them. She capsulized them. She put them in her heart so that she could think about them later. She could study about them later. She could meditate them. She could bring them back to memory to be reminded of the preciousness and the amazingness of this baby Jesus, this 12-year-old Jesus. So what are we supposed to do with Scripture unless we hide them in our heart? We treasure them in our heart. We use them for later use. All right? So these scriptures that are dear to us, we can store them up. We can keep them close. The ones that are life-changing, the ones that are thought-provoking, the ones that are heart-wrenching. We save them up. We hold on to them. So point number one is a searching heart makes it a goal to study the Word of God daily. And point number two, a searching heart uses Scripture to guard their thoughts and to guard their hearts. Now, I already mentioned to you, next week we're going to talk about a guarded heart, but I want to give you a taste of what I think that Scripture teaches on guarding our hearts. It's like when the world tempts us, when the world approaches us, we should actually have a wall built up already in place, right? A fortified position guarding our hearts. We should know that that's a temptation coming. We should know that when Satan's trying to come after us, when somebody's trying to deceive us, when somebody's trying to lie to us, because we have God's Word kind of building this defense against those things. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul writes to the church at Colossae. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So you have this idea that Paul is warning these guys that you have spiritual forces and human tradition and hollow and deceptive philosophies. And so when those things come at us, right, when those things come at us, we should be able to immediately say, oh, no, that's not what God says. That's not what God's Word teaches us. When the world tries to lure us away from the truth found in Scripture, we should respond the same way Jesus responded when he was tempted in the wilderness. Do you remember the first three words out of his mouth every time? It is written, right? Because he'd stored up these scriptures in his heart. He had treasured those scriptures in his heart. He had memorized them in his head, but he held on to them in his heart. And that's crucial for all of us. We need to be soaking our hearts and soaking our minds in Christ Jesus' Word, all right, and have an answer within Scripture. And we also need to stay away from places. We talked about that in our class this morning from Proverbs about there's a woman that lives in a house over here, and Solomon is looking out his window in chapter 7, and he's watching the young man go that direction. That's not the place he needs to be going. In fact, he should be turning tail and going the other direction, because there's certain places we know we shouldn't be. I love the great gospel program, Hee Haw. Y'all remember that great gospel show, Hee Haw? You know, there's so many little bits and funny scenes in Hee Haw, and I was watching some of those clips they were advertising. Roy Clark was advertising them on TV. Do y'all remember Doc Campbell? He always had the big metal disc on his head. I think it was supposed to be a light, but it wasn't. Well, this guy goes into Doc Campbell's office, and he's wearing a sling. And Doc Campbell goes, what happened to you? And he says, I broke my arm in two places. And Doc Campbell looks at him and goes, well, don't go to those places. Right? Kind of missed the point, right? Don't go to those places if that's where you break your arm. Don't go to those places if that's where you're tempted. Don't go to those places if that's where you're going to struggle. But if you happen to have those things fall upon you, when things happen, temptation happens, then you should be able to have God's Word stored up in your heart. I like how Doc Campbell says it, stay out of them places. But Psalm chapter 1, David says this. Again, David. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person that sits in the right place and knows where he needs to stand is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Sometimes we say, well, man, life is just dealing me these blows, or man, I made a bad choice there. It's because we went to the wrong places. We haven't had God's word guarding our hearts. And so we need to know what God says about things. We need to know what God says about what we need to be doing. We need to be a tree firmly planted by streams of water, living water, word of God, that and deep roots. Right? Deep roots. That's this idea of I've got deep roots because I'm planted by the stream of water. I have a source that will make me strong. When the winds blow, I have a source that helps me stay connected. So a searching heart makes it a goal to study the Word of God daily. Point number two, a searching heart uses Scripture to guard their thoughts and their hearts. And point number three, a searching heart allows Scripture to change their hearts. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to be changed by it. I mean, I can read stuff all day long, but if it doesn't change me, then nothing happens. I love Charles Spurgeon. Have you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon before? He lived in 1834 to 1892. He was a pastor, preacher at a church in England. Unbelievable. Go Google. If you want to do a search today, I don't think you'll find him in Broken Arrow. But if you go and look up Charles Spurgeon, amazing man, amazing sermons, some wonderful quotes. I found a quote from him that fit perfectly in what we're talking about, how letting Scripture change your life. He said this, I think from 1860-something, if God has spoken, this is what Spurgeon says, if God has spoken, listen. If God has recorded His words in a book, search its pages with a believing heart. If you do not accept it as God's inspired word, I cannot invite you to pay any particular attention to it. But if you do regard it as the book of God, I charge you, as I meet you at the judgment seat of Christ, study the Bible daily. Treat not the eternal God with disrespect, but delight in His word. And I think that what Spurgeon was saying is what David was saying, is what Ezra was saying. You got to devote yourselves to it. You have to, you know, let your heart be ready for the word of God so that it's a really receptive word. Seven reasons, and I'll end my lesson with this. Seven reasons why the Bible will change our life, all from Psalm chapter 119. Now, if you go and you read Psalm 119, you're going to find a lot of these, all right? And Jim's back there nodding because I know he was reading. We were talking about it a little bit Friday morning before we got interrupted. We talked a lot about a lot of stuff Friday morning. But seven reasons why your life's going to be changed from Psalm 119. If you haven't read Psalm 119, I'll encourage you to do so. You'll finish out the month of March, even though we're not quite there, with Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their hearts. Okay? That's where we need to be. We're going to be blessed. All right? So point number one, or reason number one, we'll be blessed. We'll be happy. We'll be given this Makarios, overwhelming joy. Number two, God's Word will bring us to praise. We'll know where the praise goes. We'll be excited to praise Him because Psalm 119 verse 7 says, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. Verse 12 says the same thing. Basically says, hey, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you because of the words that I read in your book. Verse 3, God's word will make us pure. God's word is going to make us holy or pure. How can a young person stay on the path of purity, says in verse 9, by living according to your word? I seek you with all my heart. I don't stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I used that earlier, but I just love the fact that you can hide His word in your heart. God's word is going to strengthen you. God's word will strengthen you. Verse 28, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. So there's times when we're feeling weak. There's times when we're feeling like the world's kind of beat us up a little bit, that the world's kind of thrown things at us. We get the curveballs and the struggles. And God says, hey, look, I got you. I got you. Give me your burdens. My burden, my yoke is light. Okay? And the things that I want to offer you is easy. Verse 36 and 37, point number five, God's word will highlight true value. Now, you can probably find more than I found in Psalm 119. I know you can, but I tried to find the top seven. But God's word will highlight true value. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Verse 37, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Right? Your word is going to just show me where the value's at. The worthless things in my life, turn my eyes away from those. Number six, God's word reveals his love. Duh. All right, that beautiful, incredible, no strings attached, unconditional love, we see it throughout Scripture. Verse 64, the earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees. I see God's love in so many different ways, but you see it in people and you see it in action, but you see it in his word especially. And number seven, God's word will give us wisdom and will give us direction. God's word will give us wisdom and direction. 104 and 105, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. You know, last night, you know, I went out a couple of times and I had to go out after dark and I didn't bring anything light. Now, I kind of more or less understand where the pathway is. But when somebody leaves tools out on the back porch and I forget they're there, you know, I have a tendency to trip over them, you know. Yeah, that sander's important. It was not you this time, yeah. But I'm picking on him, but we think we know our paths. There's times when we say, hey, I know right where I'm going, I know right how to get there, but sometimes people throw some things in the way. Right? Sometimes there's things that can cause us to stumble in the dark. And sometimes we get locked onto a light in the distance and we forget that we need to be paying attention to right where we're walking right now. Sometimes the light further out and the further out that we can't necessarily see real good yet causes us to stumble in our daily walk. And so I think it's important that we pay attention that his word is a lamp for my feet. And a lamp is usually carried in their hand. It was something close to them, a light on their path. There's countless other benefits, right? There's countless other benefits in Psalm 119. But throughout the Bible, there's these gold nuggets. There's these rubies. There's these diamonds just waiting to be discovered in God's word. Every time you read it, you just find this wealth. You find this amazing, amazing value in Scripture. And so it's important for us to read it daily. I figured since I talked about Spurgeon, I'd read another one of his quotes. I love this one. He says, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And I think that's a cool Spurgeon quote, because what he's saying is, hey, we'll get some things figured out. God's wisdom, God's path, those help us in our daily walk. I hope you have a searching heart this morning. And if you don't, I pray you'll choose to have a searching heart. And the way you do that, it starts with a goal. It starts with a purpose to hide God's word in our heart. And we do that by reading it daily. We do it by allowing it to guard us and to protect our hearts and our minds, our thoughts. And we allow it to change us. That's how we'll have a searching heart. Maybe you need something this morning. I don't know. We're going to sing a song. We call it an invitation song. It really is a way in which we just want you to know that you are always welcome to let the congregation know how we can pray for you. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you want to be baptized, if you have some things in your heart that you need to share with us, then please do so while we stand, while we sing. You can come forward.